Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
We're going through Creation Magazine again, Fred, and it's fun. My favorite creation evolution publication.
Yep, there's great stories we're going to go through, including stories about our appendix. We've talked about it before, but more information on that.
It's not vestigial. It's not leftover evolution.
But before that, Bob, there's a really interesting story that came out last month in a newspaper in England, The Independent. The title of the article is What Believing in God Does to Your Brain. I remember seeing that. You've got an interesting perspective on that, because
yes,
the article says that the researchers, they found that humans suppress the analytical areas of their brain in order to believe in God. So right off the bat, the subtitle makes it kind of a criticism towards us dumb Christians, right?
So we don't use the analytical part. We use basically the emotional part.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Fred, this is based on a paper in the journal Plus One, Public Library of Science One. It's the latest in a series of papers that make this claim. And what's interesting is, let's assume that their data is correct. And let's say the analytical part of your brain, the part that you use to understand, say, architecture or electronics.
Or my programming at work.
Programming. You're getting ready to travel soon, right?
Yeah, going to China.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I love when work takes you to far-flung
places. I'll have to ask him
about
dragons. And if they, you know, is dragon, is that a mythical creature?
You could be on assignment from Real Science Radio.
There you go. I'll make that part of my mission.
Yes, because their year of the rat and all the years, their 12 years of the Chinese calendar, are real animals.
Yeah, living, extant animals.
And then they have dragon.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, we've done
shows on that.
Yeah,
try to tell them they got a myth on their calendar. Yeah. They don't. It's just
dinosaurs,
a dinosaur.
Are dragons. But, so that's way wide of our point here. So, they say that we believe in God, and so in doing so, we don't use the analytical part of our brain. They intend that, as you see, this has gone all over the world, and atheists love these stories. They intend it as a way to mock Christians.
Yeah.
That's ultimately
their looking goal. At the article now, there's 19,000 shares.
Oh, right.
Who knows how many likes and all those.
Right, exactly. You know. So when you think of your wife, when I think of Cheryl, you know, do I use that analytical part of my brain, like for physics or astronomy, or do I think in terms of our relationship? Of love and caring and empathy. And of course, that's the part of my brain, if somebody was going to monitor it, when I think of my wife or my children, that's what's going to be active.
Absolutely.
That circuitry.
Yeah.
So God is a person. God is living, personal, relational, good, and loving, the five chief biblical attributes of God. He's living, personal, relational, good, and loving. And so when we think about God, we think of him, the one we love, and the one we worship, the one we praise. And so, of course, we would use that part of our brain.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bible says to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. But there is something about the apologetics that we do on this show. I think if they monitored people listening to Real Science Radio, and we're going through geophysics and, you know, all the topics that we just love to deal with, then they'd see that the listeners to the show who love the Lord are very much using the analytical part of their brain. But when someone is converting and they're looking at the evidence, the New Testament says faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
So when they're looking at the evidence and they're analyzing the prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ, all the evidence for our Creator God, they would see the analytical part of their brain functioning. But then when you come to know the Lord and you believe in God and you think about God, then of course it's going to be the relational part of your brain.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of analytical in everything, right? But in this emotional attachment state to our wives, it's a great analogy. You know, I love my wife. You know, what am I going to get? You know, okay, we got an anniversary coming up. So maybe that's where a little bit of analytical comes in. But you're thinking about what I'm going to do for them.
Right.
It's not the focus. It's not the center part of what we're thinking.
Right.
Of
to
our
analyze.
Someone. Yeah.
You know, and feminists get mad. They say students, boys do better in math and science. Why don't they point out that the girls do better in almost everything else?
Yeah.
Like communication and relationship. The things that really matter in relationship is even more important than math and science.
Yeah.
Relationship.
I mean, speaking of China, I told my wife I got good news and bad news. Yeah. I said the bad news is my company wants me to go to China because she knows I don't like to travel.
Oh.
And I'm like, the good news is, would you like to come?
Whoa.
All of a sudden, she wants me to go to China.
Whoa, that is good news. That's wonderful, so, Fred.
So she's coming great. With me, so that'll be neat.
And, you know, Fred, the audience probably doesn't know, but you are so successful in your field, software engineer, and you've been successful for many years. And is there ever a time, now that's science and technology, that in mathematics.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time that your rejection of Darwinism and the Big Bang caused you to be unable to write this software routine, the function that you had to write?
No, I never had to depend on, you know, rejection
origins.
Of that. Absolutely not.
So that whole claim that our scientific world and all our technology and progress is based on Darwin and the Big Bang is utterly false. When they change their views on origins, none of our technology stops working. None of it.
That's right. That's right.
The airplanes don't fall out of the sky. Nothing stops. Your cell phones don't stop. In fact, most of the creationist fathers of the physical sciences are the ones who should get credit with all this technology.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. And you mentioned Hebrews 11:1, you know, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
The very first part of that verse, I think, maybe kind of applies substance of
things hoped for.
The substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? The resurrection?
Yeah.
Christ's resurrection. Yeah. So that's kind of a combination of both. You know, the analytical part, because there's so much overwhelming evidence that he really did rise from the dead.
Right.
He's definitely a historical person. And just all the evidence that surrounds just the resurrection.
Overwhelming evidence for the resurrection. We have a video on it called Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
The evidence for the resurrection.
Great. Oh, that's one of the first videos of yours I saw years and years ago when I saw you on TV.
So fun. People could download it. They could get it on DVD, Blu-ray.
And that video is old, but guess what? It could have been made yesterday.
Oh. RSR.org, and then you click on the store. And normally we encourage
people. They'll see a young Bob Inyart.
Oh, yeah, they will, right? Normally, we encourage people to browse the science department, but in this case, you could browse apologetics or type in Mount Moriah or the resurrection. What a video that is.
Yeah, and if it isn't true, for tomorrow we die, right?
Well, the Apostle Paul.
Be happy and...
Yeah, Paul said Christianity is falsifiable.
Absolutely.
To paraphrase 1 Corinthians, if Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is vain, but if he did rise from the dead, then every other religion in the world is wrong and Christianity is true. And so just out of a thought economics, you know, to be economical, you're wondering which of the world's religions may be true. We'll start with Christianity, because if the evidence is there that Christ rose from the dead, then every other religion is false. You've just saved yourself a lot of misery.
Yeah. They spend a lot of time trying to explain, you know, what happened to Christ, because the tomb was empty. The Jews, they say the body was stolen. So they're all admitting he's a real historical figure. They're trying to deal with that problem, that what the Muslims think, that he was substituted with someone else on the cross and all this
they
kind
don't
of
believe
stuff.
That he died and was raised from the
but
dead.
But if he, like you said, if he died and was raised from the dead, then all other religions are false except for Christianity. So the substance of things hoped for, we also have that love of the idea that we'll be with God forever. So
and seeing the fulfillment of our salvation, the deliverance of the flesh, walking with the Lord, seeing God with our eyes, that is the great hope. Not that Christ rose from the dead. That's not a hope.
Yeah.
That's historical reality.
Exactly.
So, Fred, you mentioned Muslims. I know we haven't gotten even to our first story yet, but we sent a letter to Colorado's largest mosque, to the imam, the president there, and actually it's the Colorado Muslim Society, right after the latest terrorist bombing.
Oh, in Belgium?
Yes, in Belgium at the Brussels airport. We're challenging them on a number of issues, and perhaps in a future show, Fred, you and I could go through that letter.
Okay.
Be very
great.
Interesting.
Yeah, hopefully they'll respond to it.
Yeah, we hope so. Okay, so could we get to Creation Magazine?
Sure. Yeah, we were talking about, we kind of highlighted and mentioned the appendix.
Yes.
So what's up with the appendix? It's called The Silent Hero.
Yeah, this is the spring 2016 issue, And it turns out that the appendix is not vestigial.
It's not.
Did you have your appendix taken out?
Nope. I've never had appendicitis or any of that stuff.
Me neither, but they are swift. They're eager to take them out, or they have been for a long time.
Yeah.
How about your tonsils?
Luckily, they started going away from that whole bad science of removing tonsils because they thought they were leftover, vestigial, useless.
Leftover from evolution, like 100 organs or glands in the human body, parts of the skeleton that they've said, well, this is vestigial. These have no function.
Yeah, it's part of the transcripts of the Scopes trial, all these vestigial organs, and they weren't. They claim they were useless.
Yeah,
and we keep finding functions for them.
It's all false.
It's all false. And tonsils were one of them. So, you know, belief in evolution leads to bad science.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bob, have you ever had food poisoning? Yes. I sure have. I hate it. So, like, I hate it. It's horrible.
I have. Well, it turns out the appendix is called the silent hero because it's part of the immune system. When you get something that wipes out all the good, you know, the probiotics that people take, all the good bacteria in your gut, in your intestines, well, that stuff gets wiped out. You're in bad shape. It needs to be replenished. And it turns out that one of the functions of the appendix is that it's a reservoir of good bacteria, because when you get this infection, because of God's design, it doesn't tend to get into your appendix.
It doesn't. So having good bacteria is a huge beneficial thing. I mean, a lot of times people think of bacteria as bad, but good bacteria is, you know, absolutely critical. A lot of people will eat like yogurt because they can get, you know, the good bacteria. So imagine not having an appendix. You're not going to have this extra location in the body, and an important location for that bacteria to, you know, hang out waiting to do good.
This is
very critical.
This news blurb here in Creation Magazine is based on a paper in the scientific journal Nature Immunology, and it's a recent paper, November 2015, and one of the researchers from this paper, Professor Gabrielle Bells, said the popular belief is that the appendix is a liability.
Yes, and she said, however, we may wish to rethink whether the appendix is so irrelevant for our health. And as you mentioned, Bob, I mean, this just came out a few months ago in this technical journal. We've been talking about scientific proof that the appendix has a useful function and harbors good bacteria for years now.
For decades.
Yeah.
For decades.
And
now,
and this proves right here, too, how she's been brainwashed.
Right.
She's been told that, hey, this is a
popular belief
that it's a liability, that our appendix is bad.
Get rid of it. Your tailbone, get rid of it. It's not a tail. And I would be willing to pay Richard Dawkins for his surgery to remove his tailbone.
I'll contribute to that.
And it's not a, it's not a tail. But at any rate, do you remember Dr. Jerry Bergman?
I do.
Good friend of Real Science Radio. One of his many books and papers, articles.
Oh, he's great. He's the most prolific. Probably the most prolific creation writer.
He has approximately 1,000 publications to his name.
Wow. And like PhD degrees, something like that?
Right. Well, one of his books is titled Vestigial Organs Are Fully Functional. They're fully functional.
He puts vestigial organs in quotes.
Right. They're fully functional in all this bad science that has led to decades of patients, kids.
Popular belief tells us the appendix is a liability. I mean, because this is not this is old news. This isn't new.
Old news.
Yep. But you'd read like, hey, we just discovered the appendix has a function.
Medical Express also wrote about this scientific paper, and they said that it turns out the appendix is a silent hero, with its usefulness supporting the theory that the appendix is not a vestigial organ.
Yeah.
So they're coming right out and saying it's not vestigial.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Bob, this next one's really interesting. It's a hadrosaur. You know, these duck-billed dinosaurs, they found a new species.
Yes.
You know, not a new kind. It's a type of...
A new species of duck-billed dinosaur.
Duck-billed dinosaur. And guess what? The bones that they found, they're not even fossilized. They're unpremineralized.
No, that can't be true. Fred, it just can't be true because remember I debated that atheist Aaron Ra, YouTube superstar, and we talked about frozen mammoths in the Arctic and all that. And part of that discussion was in Alaska, researchers found unpermineralized bones of dinosaurs. And the atheists mock that because those bones, this goes back many decades. When you're on an expedition inside the Arctic Circle, it's pretty tough to just bring back with you everything you found. Well, these dinosaur bones were lost to history.
Mm-hmm.
But they were unfossilized. They were not permineralized. And so the atheists, when you bring that up, they just mock you for believing it, even though it was a totally credible expedition, totally credible researchers. We found unfossilized bones. The bones in Montana, Hell Creek Formation, they all smell.
They still had a smell to them.
They smell because they have soft tissue in them still.
Yeah.
And now this is verified by a leading scientific journal. It's Acta Paleontologica Polonica. And you remember Fred, the friend of Real Science Radio, Kevin Anderson, molecular biologist.
Yeah, he'll be out here in the summer at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, I believe, in June.
He's an awesome molecular biologist.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to hear Kevin Anderson, just go to rsr.org/Anderson. He's the best. And so he was published in Acta Histochemica about the dinosaur soft tissue found up in Montana in a triceratops horn. Well, this is a similar kind of story. We don't know that there's soft tissue in the marrow of these bones.
Mm-hmm.
There very well may be, because dinosaur soft tissue is common. It's not very rare.
It's not.
They say, well, the first time we found it in a T-Rex, it's rare, 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 rare. How do you like your ribeye, Fred? You like
I like rare. It. Well, I actually like my medium, but you know. You
but rare, rare, rare. It's rare to find soft tissue, except every time you turn around, whenever they look, they find soft tissue.
Yeah.
The British Museum looked at, what was it, 7 dinosaur bones?
Yeah, but they had their museum. Some of them had soft tissue in them.
In their drawers, in their inventory, for 100 years, they took out 7 different bones, not undistinct, small bones.
Mm-hmm.
5 of them had blood cells and soft tissue.
Yeah.
5 of the 7.
Original tissue. Yeah. Blood cells.
So just go to rsr.org/soft or dinosaur soft tissue. And there it is. A plethora of scientific papers published on the topic.
And for the public school teachers out there,
yeah,
that means that dinosaurs can't be millions of years old.
They can't be. If your blood,
use your common sense.
If your blood cells, the dinosaur's blood cells, are still soft, transparent, flexible, you squeeze them and red blood cells come out, they're not millions of years old. They're young. Dinosaurs are young, all of them.
This is fragile material that will, there's no way it can survive.
Yes.
It can't survive 50,000 years, let alone.
And Fred, I'm going to go away from the microphone. So I don't normally abandon you during a show, do I? But I'm coming.
You're grabbing something from the vast library.
To grab our newest video, Jurassic.
All right.
Jurassic, Bob Inyar and Trey Smith. Dinosaurs are young. All of them. What a fun video. You know, Trey has a YouTube channel.
Yeah, he's very popular.
He has 14 million views. I think he beats Aaron Ra.
Honestly, I didn't know who he was until my brother mentioned him, and that's how he got real interested in creation science, other than, you know, my original prodding of him.
Yeah.
He became a huge follower of this guy. And then he
Trey
mentioned,
Smith.
Hey, this guy, you know, Trey Smith? I'm like, no. And he goes, oh, he's originally was one of Bob Inyart's disciples, or I'm not sure if that's the right word.
No, well, I could tell you that real quickly.
Okay.
Trey was in jail.
Oh.
Because he's a criminal. He wrote a whole book on it called Thief. He robbed the house safe of a televangelist.
Wow.
Mike Murdoch. And Mike Murdoch is a terrible, terrible excuse for a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Trey Smith grew up in Mike Murdoch's house. Trey and Mike Murdoch's son robbed the guy's safe.
Wow.
They were drug addicts. Real.
Never heard this story before.
Horrific story. So Trey ends up in Colorado, and he's committing crimes, and he gets arrested and sentenced to jail. He's got a pretty good jail sentence.
Okay.
So because of our jail ministry that we've had for a long time, we met Trey Smith in jail. In fact, Ken Scott, who comes on Bob Inyart Live once in a while, mm-hmm. pro-life activist, leader, and I met him in jail. Of course, witness to him. He knew the gospel because he grew up in the home of a televangelist.
Yeah.
But boy, was he messed up. And so we ministered to him. Well, Trey, the day he got released from jail, we drove down there. Ken and Joe Scott, Ken's wife, and I, we went down there, came back to Denver, and he stayed in the Denver metro area. He attended Denver Bible Church for a time and fellowshipped and was edified by many in the Denver Bible Church and pro-life community in Denver. The Lord turned his life around. He wrote that amazing book, Thief.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began to make these videos about the Bible and creation and some issues that we don't get into much, like aliens and demons and all. Demons are real.
Yeah.
We just don't get into that much. But Trey has become wildly popular.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
How many views on YouTube? I mean,
14 million.
14 views. Million. Wow.
Yeah. And way over 100,000 subscribers. I forget. The fact that Trey contacted us just this past year and said he'd like to come back to Denver from Dallas and produce a dinosaur soft tissue video, that was a great opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And what's it called again?
Jurassic, Dinosaurs Are Young, All of Them.
Trey Smith, this is Bob neat. Adier. I just grabbed me a copy here. It says, dinosaurs are proven young by genetics, fossils, cave drawings, carbon dating, etc. And Trey Smith and Bob Inyart destroy the theory of dinosaurs being millions of years old. Also enjoy watching Bob Inyart slap atheist Lawrence Krauss around in debate like child's play. So he's got the audio, obviously, right? Because there's
yes,
not a,
that's
but
right.
But that'll be cool.
And you,
you
remember,
get that as a bonus of this DVD.
Yes. Do you remember the name Glenn Kuban?
Yeah.
When the human footprints in yep. stone were found yep. in Texas,
yep.
Glenn
Rose, yep.
Paluxy River Basin, and even in dinosaur footprints. So you have dinosaur footprints, and in the dinosaur footprints, human footprints. The Dallas Police Department came out to give their opinion on whether or not these were human footprints. Were they carved? Were they something else? They said they're human footprints. So Glenn Kuban becomes well-known, starts to work with Richard Dawkins on a documentary to debunk the footprints in stone, that it's all fraudulent. And in the documentary, Richard Dawkins shows these crumbled up rocks, and he says, this could look like anything to anyone. And sure enough, it could, because he didn't show the footprints. He just showed crumbled up rocks.
Rock. Yeah.
It was as deceptive as could be. He goes all the way to Texas and he doesn't film the footprints. Well, then Glenn at twilight and he destroys the footprints with an iron bar.
Yep.
Destroys
That's
them.
True story.
Well, Trey Smith calls, he ambushes Glenn Kuban, calls him, and we will embed in today's show summary, rsr.org.
Is it in this video?
We'll embed. No, it's in a preview to this video.
Oh, okay.
Leading up to the publication of Jurassic, Trey put online a YouTube video where he called Glenn, and it's a phone ambush, basically.
Yeah.
But he brings up the fact that Glenn Kuban destroyed the human footprints, destroyed them.
Yeah. That's how much they hate the truth. They knew what they
yeah,
were saying.
Yeah. And Kuban says, well, they don't look much different afterward than they did before they were smashed. To me, I think that was an admission.
That's an admission. That's,
because then Trey, Trey is showing the before and after photos on the screen when you hear Glenn say
wow.
that.
Wow. Yeah. So again, this, what you just talked about, this video clip of Trey Smith phone ambushing this guy, it's yeah. going to be on the website. We're going to
yes.
post it on today's show's page, which is rsr.org Jurassic.
Yes. rsr.org/Jurassic. And you'll be able to order this video right there. And I encourage you to, because whenever you order anything from Real Science Radio, you help us stay on the air. Fred, you know, our 25th anniversary is coming up this spring. June 3rd is a Friday night. There is a Bob Inyart Live Founders Club dinner at Shanahan Steakhouse.
Wow.
Is that a good steakhouse in Denver?
That is really good.
Shanahan's is great. Well, it's expensive. It's to help us stay on the air for perhaps another 25 years. It's $1,000 a plate. It's an intimate setting. It'll be fun. But Real Science Radio began about 25 years ago on Bob Inyart Live, like
yep.
it is today. And the next day, for people who can't afford that, that's a lot of money. We know that. We're going to have a picnic at Denver Bible Church for the 25th anniversary of Bob Inyart Live and Real Science Radio. So anybody who could get to Denver or anybody in Colorado, please come on out. that weekend. Just go to our website, rsr.org. You can find out all about it. But also, when people buy our science materials, they help us to stay on the air.
They help stay on the air. Yeah. And you know what, Bob? I have to actually be a purchaser of this. Oh, I'm not going to just take it out of studio.
Fred, you're just going to take it.
Well, and because I can't brag too. About this without seeing it. You know, I can't good conscience, which I, you know, everything yeah. you've done that I've talked about, I actually see it.
Yeah.
And I really do like it. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a good liar. I can't say, oh, Bob, your hider play video.
I'm glad
really
you're
good.
Not a good liar. Yeah. Hillary Clinton was asked just a couple weeks ago, why do so many people distrust you? I mean, the number one word with Hillary Clinton is liar. She's dishonest, untrustworthy.
Yeah, yep.
And that's from everybody. That's from the media. It's from everybody.
From her own side.
Right. And so she was asked in an interview, why do people not trust you? And she said, well, I am not a natural politician like my husband. You know? And so what that means is I'm not a very good liar. Is
yeah.
what it means.
Yeah.
She was even asked, do you remember she was asked, do you lie?
Yeah. And she lied. She said she doesn't lie. Can you imagine that? She said she'd never lied. And she doesn't think she'll ever lie in the future. That's incredible.
The entire email scandal is a lie.
Oh, yeah.
The entire thing.
Yeah. You can go back.
Every scandal is a lie. She's saying that the family members of the Americans who were killed in Benghazi.
She's calling them liars.
They were liars.
Can you believe that?
That she told them that it was a videotape when her email record shows she's telling her family, she's telling officials that we know this was a terrorist attack.
So, Bob, I promise I'm going to have to watch this video, and I can't wait. Your stuff's great. And Trey Smith, I did watch one of his videos after my brother encouraged me to, and he's really good. This got to be incredible. I mean, two heavyweights, you know, going,
it should be
putting
fun,
a video
right?
together. This
Jurassic
will be great.
Dinosaurs are young.
Fresh off the presses.
All of them.
Yep.
Okay, so, Fred, this story, then, to recap, they have found a hadrosaur, duck-billed dinosaur. They found enough of the skeleton that they've identified it as a new species of hadrosaur. They point out in this peer-reviewed journal, Acta Paleontologica Polonica, that these bones are not fossilized. They are unpermineralized.
Yeah, they're not fossilized.
They have not turned to stone. They are still the organic compounds that grew inside the dinosaur, which was then buried by Noah's flood and that cataclysm. And so probably if they look in this thing's bones, they're going to find soft tissue, probably.
Probably.
Yes.
You know, one of the members of Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship has gone on a lot of the safaris that we put on, and a lot of them are really good. A lot of them recently have been run by Ed Jolman. So we'll often go to Dinosaur National Monument.
What a great place.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And through the years, one of the members has asked the park rangers there, you know, about these dinosaur fossils that are just everywhere.
These graveyards.
Yeah. And you can see a big wall.
Thousands of bones.
Just, you look at this wall that they've got. I don't know if it's a museum, but one of their display areas. I mean, this wall is huge, at least 50 to 100 feet tall. I mean, it's huge. It's this huge,
wall.
Big wall
yeah, right.
of dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
And the rangers through the years, their stories have changed. You know, it originally was, well, because he'd ask him, you know, what, how do you explain these? Well, the dinosaurs, they, you know, they died along a riverbank and, you know, they all got fossilized. Wait a minute, all these dinosaurs died together?
These
the same
giant river? Dinosaurs. Yeah.
So yeah. Over time, the story kept changing.
And these graveyards are all around the world, by the way.
They're all around the world, not just there.
Right.
And I was there at the time that when he asked one of the park rangers that question again. Mm. And you know what his answer was?
What?
Some kind of big water disaster buried
yes.
all these.
There we
they're
go.
Not going to admit to Noah's flood,
right.
but they're admitting.
But it is Noah's flood.
Yes.
And I don't like to call it Dinosaur National Monument. I like to call it Clam National Monument because there are way more clams there than there are dinosaurs.
That's true.
And so often you find in these graveyards aquatic animals
yep.
and marine animals and land animals mixed together because it's the result of the global flood in the day of Noah.
So do you think if they had a big sign that said Clam National Monument, would it be like Kansas where you can see the biggest groundhog in the world? People just keep driving.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's Dinosaur National Monument, right. So people are going to stop. People yes. have a fascination with dinosaurs.
Yes.
That's a great point. There are more clams buried
and
there by
dinosaurs
far.
Dinosaurs are the creationist's best friend. Well, next
they
to
are.
Diamonds. Diamonds are the creationist's best
friend. Because the carbon 14 we find in them, and that's a very hard substance.
It's supposed to be billion years old.
Can't be.
And it only lasts thousands of
carbon years. Carbon 14 would have long turned into nitrogen. Right.
But dinosaurs are the creationist's second best friend, because dinosaurs, when they lose the dinosaurs, they lose it all, because they have based everything on their incessant claim to kids and everyone else that dinosaurs are millions of years old. Guess what? Dinosaurs are young, all of them.
And all those Dr. Seuss books that start kids early, their evangelism for dinosaurs, those books are all wrong.
All right. So, Fred Williams, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
For being on the show.
Can't wait to watch Jurassic, Dinosaurs Are Young, all of them. It's going to be, I can't wait.
All right.
RSR, I predict I will like it.
RSR.org/Jurassic. And this is Bob Benyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.